Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus said this, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And so, what's this Word of God all about? It's the Word. It's God's testimony about Jesus Christ. And it's God's Spirit that takes those words about Jesus and makes them real in our lives and enables us to trust Him, to walk by faith in Him, and to live in the power of His resurrected life. That's the purpose of the Word of God. And Richard, you talked about that yesterday. And Andrew, it's this Word of God is not just an ordinary book, is it? It's extraordinary as far as its content and its power in our daily lives, isn't it?
Yeah, I was in university, and I'll never forget, I was talking with my professor. I was about 20 years old there in my fourth year of college, and he was a religion professor, and he was just an expert in what the book said. And yet he came to me privately one time after class and said, you know, Andrew, I've been studying this Bible for, you know, decades now, and I'm a professor of religion, and I'm an expert in New Testament, but when people come to me and they talk about being born again, he said, quite honestly, I have no clue what they're talking about in terms of their own experience. He says, I have no idea what that is. And I just sort of looked at him in shock at the moment that this man who had been teaching me all about the Word of God did not actually have the living Word of God, that is Jesus Christ, living inside of him, causing him to be a born-again believer. And so it's one thing to have Bible smarts. It's one thing to know about the book. It's an entirely different thing to know the author and have him living inside of you.
It really is. I went to Israel a number of years ago, and amazing to hear some people speak over there about the Word of God, knowing the Old Testament. We had a particular guide that probably knew the New Testament better than any of the pastors that were on this particular trip with me. And yet Jesus was just a total mystery. He had no clue as to who this Jesus was. And it's like the Bible said, you know, sometimes we have eyes, but we can't see. We have ears, but we can't hear. And all of that changes when the Spirit of God really reveals to us the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the main character of this Word of God. And why we read it is simply to get to know Him. That's the reason you go into the Word of God. So many people are going into the Word of God wanting to find a solution for their problem, wanting to find principles to live by, wanting to find principles to use for their businesses so that they can become successful. But that's not what the Word of God's about. The Word of God is about Jesus. And when we go into it with that understanding, we're going to get the full measure of what this Word of God is all about and see how it really is powerful in our day-to-day lives.
And Basic Gospel is a very, very good place to hear all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do or has done in your life, continues to do, as a matter of fact. Right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Again, that's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to Fredericksburg, Virginia, and talk with Robert, listening to us on Wave. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
I want to talk about the Screwtape.
Screwtape letters are about?
Yeah, the whole meaning of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Robert, of course, the Screwtape Letters was written decades ago by C.S. Lewis, and it's basically a book where, you know, he's creatively given you an opportunity to stumble upon, you know, this mysterious series of conversations between two demons, and their task is to basically secure the demise of humanity, of all the human patients, as he called them. So C.S. Lewis crafted this. It's kind of like the enemy's playbook. What would it be like if we had the enemy's playbook? And this is something, of course, that we learn about in the book of Ephesians, that there are fiery darts that are launched at every believer. We might think that accusation and temptation and serious attack, well, that's reserved for, you know, the Billy Grahams of the world, the missionaries out in Africa somewhere. But what we really need to recognize, Robert, is that, you know, the enemy hates children of God, period. And the Bible says that the enemy accuses us day and night. And that's why Basic Gospel exists, quite frankly. We exist because Jesus Christ is the answer to those accusations, and Jesus Christ is the answer to those strategies of the enemy. And so often it's very tantalizing for us to get distracted by thoughts about ourselves, thoughts about our sins, thoughts about our dirty, dirty track record. And really the only solution to that is to go back and say, wait, what did Jesus do about this? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the Screwtape Letters is just a made-up creative novel. It's a book that was made by a man in order to mimic or imitate, you know, what would it be like if we actually discovered a playbook of the enemy. And of course, the Word of God tells us that we do have an enemy, and then the response, again, is to fix our eyes on Jesus and say, I'm a forgiven person, I'm a righteous person, I'm free from condemnation, I've got victory over this temptation through Jesus Christ, and that is the answer to every ploy of the enemy.
Robert, oh. does that help?
Yes. Well, that it's like I know I can't spend so much time talking because it's only 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, Robert, we certainly appreciate your call, and you keep standing firm and let your eyes, you know, drift to Jesus and stay fully focused on Him. That's where you're going to get the answers, and that's where you're going to gain discernment on how the enemy works against you. So keep your eyes right there, Robert. And as always, we appreciate your call, my friend.
Yeah, plenty of open lines right now. We'd love to address your question on this edition of Basic Gospel. That number again, 844-322-2742. Got a question from Jerry, who lives in Belton, Texas, listens on our great longtime affiliate, KBBW. This is about leadership in the church or leaders in the church. Some say it's the vision of the senior pastor and he should appoint them. Others believe that it is the body who appoints the elders by consensus as long as they meet the qualifications. How should elders be chosen in the local church? Please share your thoughts. That's again from Jerry in Belton, Texas.
Excellent question. And boy, that's been, I think, at the center of the way many different groups have decided on how to govern their particular denominations.
Yes.
You look at the Presbyterian Church, you look at the Methodist Church, you look at the Southern Baptist Church, you look at all of these, and you notice a difference in the way they're governed. And they all feel that those particular offices should be chosen through different approaches. So there's I'm assuming, freedom there. But, you know, a lot of times with our organization, with our hierarchies, I think we neglect what the Holy Spirit is doing or what Christ himself is doing with people. I think a lot of times it's not that we appoint leaders or appoint elders or appoint things. If we just open up our eyes, we can see what God is doing and just recognize how he's using different people in different ways and in different roles. And I think if we will be sensitive to that, I think things will be a lot simpler for us. I know, for many years we had a small group, and one of our mottos was, we're not going to have any elders or any deacons, and therefore no problems.
No problem, yeah.
But I don't
funny
think
how
that
didn't work.
It didn't really work that well. So I know, Andrew, you have some elders out there, and how did those guys come into place?
Yeah, well, I think that, once a church is already underway, ideally, to have a group of elders who are making the main decisions within the body of believers, I think that's more biblical than just having some sort of random vote, where 100 or 500 people just throw up their hands and say, yeah, let's do this because it's the majority opinion. I think the church at large has made major mistakes by having that sort of government in place. And I think you're right, Bob, that, things happen organically. Like when we here at Church Without Religion, when we are, looking at the idea of another elder coming on board, I mean, all we do is we look out at the population of the congregation and we say, well, who is already, seeming to be used by the Lord in significant ways? Who's rising to the top in terms of their heart being for this ministry and for this message of the gospel? And those are the people that the elders look to and want to select to come alongside them and serve. And so it's not about majority opinion. It's about Christ and him working in and through people. And ultimately, I think you have to just fall back on the simple fact that, the word pastor and the word elder and the word overseer, really a pastor elder is one gifting. The elders should be able to teach. They should be able to lead. I don't believe that the pastor should act as the CEO of a local church. And that really we're trusting Christ to work in and through a team of leaders that are on equal footing. And that's really important in the body of Christ.
Yes, it is. Because God, as far as he's concerned, we're all children of his.
Yes.
And we got into the body exactly the same way, by grace through faith. It was his power that saved us, his power that gave us a brand new identity. It was his gift of the Spirit that he gave to each and every one of us. And it's at his discretion of how he gifts each person for the building up of the body so that the body can do its work in the world at large. So, well, I hope that helps. Let's go to Arlington, Texas, and talk to Patricia, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. I just had a quick question. At the beginning of the broadcast, there was a verse that was being said, and I just wanted to know where that was.
John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. So Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees, and they were very, grounded in the Old Testament scriptures, at least their understanding and interpretation of it. And Jesus was showing them that they didn't really understand it at all, because if they did, they would recognize Jesus for who he was and would come to him by faith.
Right. Yeah, I know somebody who just seems like they're just studying the Bible just to study it, not really for any other purpose. I don't know. So it just really hit home for me. So I wanted to share that verse with them. So, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Patricia. Glad you called. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have a wonderful offer for our listeners this month. It's Bob Christopher's CD series called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. We encourage you to get that simply by making a donation to the ministry this month. A donation of any amount will get it on its way to you right now. You can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator. And that number is 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. Yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry this month.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I frequently hear pastors teaching that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples of Jesus while he still walked the earth before he ascended. Is that true?
Well, they're basing that on a passage in John chapter 20 where he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I think that was a statement of preparation for their work ahead once the gift of the Spirit had been given. But many interpret that as they receive the gift of the Spirit at that moment, the disciples, just those who were with them in that room. But as I said, I think this is a statement of preparation for what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost.
Well, didn't Jesus settle the issue in John 16 when he said that unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come?
Hmm. Yes, yeah, he did. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, it seems to me for somebody to teach that the Holy Spirit came before Jesus went, they're saying Jesus was wrong. And I don't see how they could be born again of the Spirit and make that kind of a claim.
Yeah, well, also, you know, William, they did participate in some miracles along the way and that sort of thing. But I think that ultimately you would negate Pentecost and the meaning of Pentecost. I mean, why are they waiting for power from on high if they've already got that? Why are they waiting for the Holy Spirit to indwell them if they've already got that? So Pentecost would be negated entirely if they had already received the Spirit within themselves. So just like in an Old Testament sense, you know, some of those guys, whether it's Samson or whoever, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon people for divine acts of service, but it wasn't the same as what happened at Pentecost with the indwelling. So I don't believe that the disciples were born again, as you put it. They weren't born again until Pentecost. They weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit until Pentecost. But, you know, the Holy Spirit moving among them and doing miracles and doing amazing things to show the identity of Jesus, well, yeah, but that's not the same thing as being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and being born of the Spirit.
So are you saying the Holy Spirit did come upon them before Jesus was?
Well, I mean, Bob, if you want to weigh in on this, let me know your thought on that. I mean, didn't they participate in some pretty amazing things that were
of William,
the Spirit?
I think the distinction is the actual giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Spirit to come and take up residence inside of us. That did not occur until the day of Pentecost. It didn't occur for anyone until the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit was still in the world, and he was coming upon different people. Certainly, he came upon John the Baptist, for example. His ministry was under the control of the Spirit. And yet, Jesus said that, you know, anyone who had been born again, the least in the kingdom was greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because he had never been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's what the gift of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's about the indwelling. As Andrew was saying, for example, King David had the Holy Spirit come upon him. King Saul had the Holy Spirit come upon him. And then the Lord withdrew the Spirit from upon him. And that's why David prayed in one of the Psalms, "Please don't take the Spirit away from me." But they're not talking about the indwelling Spirit. That's a completely different thing, and that happened at the day of Pentecost. That's when the Spirit was given so that he could take up residence inside of us.
Yes.
So when Jesus said that unless he goes, the Spirit will not come, he was talking about the permanent indwelling Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit could come temporarily?
Well, the Holy Spirit has been in the world since the very beginning.
Yes.
We see that in the book of Genesis where it says the Spirit hovered over the earth. The Holy Spirit has been here, but the gift to you and to me did not occur until the day of Pentecost.
Okay, so again, I'm confused as to what Jesus meant when he said the Holy Spirit will not come. That's a pretty
I just explained it, William. He was not going to come to live inside of you and me until he ascended.
He was specifically talking about being born again.
That yes,
was
correct.
Was world, but he yes. would not come and dwell them permanently.
That's yeah, right. I mean, he had yeah. already descended like a dove on Jesus. He had already, you know, performed many miracles through, you know, the Jesus, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit had already been demonstrated. So it's not that he wasn't in the world or working in the world. It's literally talking about this indwelling, this being born of, coming for the purpose of giving new life to us.
Well, thanks for helping out with
that. Hey, William, thanks for your yeah. call, and love to wrestle through these things and try to really see what the Word of God is saying. So thank you so much, and it's such an important issue, isn't it? I mean, this isn't one of those, you know, little peripheral deals. The giving of God's Spirit is the most significant event as far as you and I are concerned and how it affects us. That's when we're really made alive. So, William, we appreciate it.
For your ministry.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Well, let's go to New York and talk to Vincent listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
All right, how you doing? Forgive my accent here. If you don't understand, let me repeat it. For years, I've been taught that the world was created good. But as I'm reading it, God didn't declare it good. Actually, he saw that it was good. So the reason I think he didn't declare it good, because there wasn't, I think there was kind of evil before the earth was actually created. Because when he said the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and death, those things actually existed before Adam and Eve actually, disobeyed him. What do you think about that?
Interesting thought. We do know that whatever God does is good. It's just by nature. If it comes from his hand, it's good. James talks about there that every perfect gift it comes from the one from above. That's God's goodness. So God's goodness was seen in creation. But I do think you're right. The fall of Satan had occurred before the creation. So he perverted what was good, and that's all evil is a perversion of good. It's not a thing that was created. It was just a perversion of the goodness that God already was and that God created. So evil is simply a perversion of good. So yes, Satan was in the world, and I think that's why he wanted to protect Adam and Eve from that evil.
Do you know that Eve actually sinned before she actually ate fruit? And the reason why I said that is that she told the serpent that we should not even touch the tree, which God did not say that.
She was being lured in indeed, but the actual thing that God said is don't eat the fruit. And so when she ate the fruit and when Adam ate the fruit, that's when the deceit and the desire was born and sin came forth. That's the actual eating of the fruit was the act of sin. Well, Vincent, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call. Thank you.
You know, friends of Basic Gospel have supported this ministry through the months and years so that others might hear the good news of the love of Jesus Christ. It's what we do every day on this program. Talk about the fullness of his love, grace, and life. There's no better news on earth. In fact, there is no news that even equals it. And the truth about him has a way of cutting through the litter and the clutter of religion and reaching directly into the heart. It's our privilege to deliver this news, this truth, on Basic Gospel every day. But we need your ongoing support and your prayers, your financial support to keep the broadcast on the air, keep the good news coming, and you can come alongside us and partner with us to help get the word out. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. And for your gift of any amount this month, as I said earlier, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's series, The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Believer Should Know. Again, click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob, for Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you for another live edition tomorrow at the same time.